It's Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. The amount of solid waste collected is up. The amount recycled is up. The recycling rate is down slightly. And the landfill serving McLean County is running out of room. In the studio to talk about the latest numbers, recycling, and the future of the McLean County landfill is the Executive Director of the Ecology Action Center and McLean County's Solid Waste Coordinator, Michael Brown. Michael, thanks for joining us on Sound Ideas.
Good morning.
You can talk with Michael by calling 309-438-8910. And in just a few moments, we'll play a round of Can It Be Recycled, where you can call with your hard-to-recycle items. Michael, what accounts for the uptick in solid waste generated in the community? Double-digit increases in 2014 and 2015.
I've seen a correlation between the economy and total waste generated. And so in the height of the recession, we saw some of the lowest rates of total waste generated that we've seen in a long time. And then as we see recovery from the recession, we see that turn right back around and more waste generated. And so this, my interpretation of this is that, yeah, with more disposable income, people are buying more disposables, buying more fast food, buying more short-term things that get thrown away more quickly.
More business activity as well.
Exactly, yes.
More solid waste was collected. More tons were recycled than ever before. Mm-hmm. And the recycling rate is really holding steady since 2009, just under 40%. Mm-hmm. How does that 40% figure compare with other communities?
That is really a little hard to say because it is somewhat apples to oranges. While there is some prescription of how this is supposed to be calculated, there still are some gray areas. And so it is a little bit of an inexact science when you compare us with, say, Peoria or Champaign-Urbana. If you just look at those raw numbers, I think what is more important is just our own tracking and relative change from year to year. And so that's going to be more meaningful for ourselves.
309-438-8910 is the listener line. We're talking about recycling with the EAC's Michael Brown. Can you estimate how many years the community has added to the landfill's life by recycling 35 to 38% of the waste stream since 2009?
To give an exact estimate there is hard to say, but we do know. So you go back several years and the annual capacity reports of what room is left in the landfill, how much life is left in the landfill, for many years just kept kind of staying, out there. It was 5 years or more out, where suddenly in these past few years, we have finally seen the beginning of the end, and those capacity reports are becoming much closer to the current day. And so I do think our recycling efforts did help extend the life for a while, but now we are at the end, and the landfill, really has only about a year of capacity left.
But it seems like over the last maybe two to three years, we've been hearing it's got two more years left. So that's because it was hard to sort of put your finger on it because of recycling?
I think recycling definitely has helped, but as well, there's other variables in here. So the McLean County landfill is owned and operated by Allied or Republic Services. They also own and operate the Livingston County landfill. And so depending on conditions, given any day of the week here at our local landfill, they may send, a load of waste over to Livingston County instead. They have the right to do that. They're just, responsible for legally disposing of it. And so they can send it either place. Obviously, to keep it here locally is going to be cheaper for them, less, transportation costs.
And you said the landfill, we know where it's headed. It's got a year or so left. Then what?
Exactly. So while that sounds like a crisis, we really do have plenty of landfill capacity in central Illinois, whether we're talking about the Livingston County landfill in Pontiac, the Clinton landfill, there is plenty of capacity. And so this isn't immediate crisis in terms of where our waste is going to go. The bigger picture issue is how much it's going to cost us. And so for each, ton of trash that we send further and further away, the transportation costs will eventually increase, and all that is going to be passed on to everybody. I mean, that's going to impact everybody's operations, whether you're talking about a small business, large corporation, municipalities, residents. For everybody, it's going to cost more eventually to throw away trash.
Is that cost associated with the transportation costs involved with hauling that garbage, or is it because the tipping fees in Livingston County are higher?
We're talking more specifically about the transportation costs. Just we know that, while right now fuel prices are low, they always eventually go up. And so that is going to happen. And we're talking a greater distance. And so it is inevitable that costs will go up due to transportation.
How do transportation costs affect recycling, or what the price, what the prices are for the items that are recycled? You know, plastic bottles, the value of an aluminum can. What, where does transportation fall into that? Because that stuff has to be eventually transported somewhere as well.
It does as well, but for that, you know, there, for a lot of those, you know, the markets have always been, you know, someplace further away, you know, Chicago or someplace like that. And so I think that's always been kind of calculated in, whereas we've long had a local landfill. And so we've long been able to take advantage of, you know, low transportation cost to throw away trash, whereas the recycling, it's always been kind of there that, you know, it needs to go to a larger market.
Michael Brown is the County Solid Waste Coordinator and the Executive Director of the Ecology Action Center. What are your questions about recycling, landfill space, or the county's solid waste plan, which is in development? Give us a call at 309-438-8910. And in just a few moments, we'll play a round of Can It Be Recycled, where you can call with your hard-to-recycle items, and we'll see if we can stump Michael Brown. The Ecology Action Center undertakes a large number of projects, all good things the EAC does. Stream cleanup, BN Energy Bright, partnering in solar Bloomington Normal, to name a few. Where does recycling and landfill management rank with everything the EAC does?
So this is kind of, you know, our bread and butter. We've been involved in solid waste issues for 45 years now. Our origins lie in a one-day recycling drive back in 1971, where a group of dedicated individuals saw the need for recycling where there was none in our community, held this one-day drive, which, unfortunately for them, but fortunately for us, wasn't able to just stay at one day, and it had to become a regular operation, which was eventually called Operation Recycle. So that was our organization for a couple decades. We provided direct recycling services until the municipalities took that over in the 90s. But all along, we've been involved in solid waste planning. Now we're, you know, the solid waste agency, helping provide for that broader perspective and planning, and meeting the specialized needs, and looking towards the future in the next 20 years.
The Ecology Action Center is working on a new solid waste plan with other entities in the county and the community. How will that help increase recycling, or how will it help divert some of the stream away from either the landfill in McLean County if it continues to stay open for a little while longer, or another landfill?
So the priority really is going to be trying to look at, you know, the larger portions of our existing waste stream that is going to landfill right now, and how much of that can we divert through increased efforts, new strategies, because basically the point is we are going to spend money, more money, to transport or export essentially our waste from the county. And so how much of that can we save? So how much of that can we avoid through increased efforts?
And by we, you mean individual homeowners and businesses, because those costs will be passed on at some level at some point.
Absolutely. But I also mean everybody. This is across the board. There isn't anybody this isn't going to touch. And so, yes, homeowners, businesses, municipalities, everybody is going to feel this at some point.
The survey data collected by the McLean County Regional Planning Commission for the Normal Comprehensive Plan, which is in development, showed that students want curbside recycling, getting single-stream containers of some sort at apartment buildings, student housing, multifamily living situations. If that were to move forward, how might that affect the county's recycling rate?
I think that would certainly help, and that is something that, that comes up actually several times a year in terms of, you know, students coming to us individually or part of groups, or this coming, you know, from other directions, you know, the need to better address that gap in the system for student housing, but also other multifamily housing, whether it's in Bloomington or Normal, that is not sufficiently addressed. And so that definitely is something that we're talking about right now as part of the new solid waste plan. There's various approaches, you know, to make this happen, whether it's regulated, which is really kind of the last resort. You don't want to force things on people, on businesses, on anybody. But there's other ways to try and incentivize it. And we're looking at a concept, you know, potentially of trying to basically act, you know, in a stronger role as waste consultants, and even try to aggregate the service. You know, look at where there's neighborhoods with a lot of apartment buildings, multifamily, you know, housing, that we can try and group them together in a group and use the leverage of kind of that bulk buy to then, you know, bargain with a waste service that we could couple recycling and waste services together, bring down the price, you know, make it geographically convenient. convenient for the waste trucks. And so it's kind of a win-win across the board.
We're talking about what you throw away. You can join this conversation by calling 309-438-8910. Michael Brown is the executive director of the Ecology Action Center. So looking at multifamily living situations, and recycling might be something that ends up in the next McLean County solid waste plan. What about demolition or construction waste? You know, I see whole bathrooms or demolished kitchens and carpeting on the curb all of the time. And I would imagine from a building site, it's even more construction waste. How will the plan address that kind of waste?
Sure. So right now we know that the construction and demolition waste currently being generated in our community make up about 21.5% of our annual municipal solid waste.
Well, there's your 40% right there,
exactly.
Right? I mean, and you could punch right over the 40% goal by addressing that.
Exactly. We know in 2015, we recycled less than 1,000 tons of that. And so basically, we're just right now barely getting a drop in the bucket as far as the potential there. And so, yes, ways that we can further incentivize that. We do have right now, you know, one of the few downstate construction, demolition, recycling facilities available. It's right here in our community. It is close. It is convenient. And so how can we make that, you know, more accessible and better used in the community?
Carpeting can be recycled. It can be reused somehow, some way.
Carpeting is kind of a tricky item because there is different materials in there. There's adhesives. There's different ways that it's made. And so there's some technology that's necessary to properly recycle that. And there are groups looking into that. Currently, locally, we can't recycle it, but that is something that is kind of on the wish list.
Chunks of 2x4? What do you do with that?
Chunks of 2x4. That is something that, yes, the Henson C&D recycling facility can take. So wood waste of various types, you know, lumber, you know, painted, even, you know, the creosote, you know, railroad timbers that people still might have in their landscaping. These things can be taken at the Henson Disposal C&D recycling.
So do you have a flat spot on your forehead from slapping it every time when you go past a garbage bin that's not a rolling recycling bin, but the rolling container for garbage at someone's curb and cardboard is sticking out of that? You know, what do you do?
Right.
What do you do personally?
So I used to have a full head of hair. That's gone away through various reasons. So we definitely need to do more education, and that is even part of what we're looking at as a strong priority within the new solid waste plan. You know, we've long been doing education, but we really need the resources to do a proper media campaign to the full community. We need something that is highly visible as opposed to reaching those who are interested in looking for the right answers.
We'll get to Can It Be Recycled in just a moment, where people can call with their hard to recycle items. Let's go to the phones right now. Chris from Bloomington is on the line. We were talking about student recycling, and Chris has a question about that. Chris, what's your question for Michael Brown?
I basically have a comment. I'm a business owner up on Main Street in Bloomington, and when I don't have a padlock on my recycle canister or my garbage canister in the back of the building, the students fill it up, and I have to have the company put padlocks on it. Now, it kind of hurts to do that because the kids are desperate to do the right thing with their garbage, and I admire them for that. But it's a hindrance for me as a business owner because I work with a lot of shipping containers that I proudly recycle. I recycle everything I get my hands on, and I need that space that I pay for. And so I had to put a padlock on it.
So it sounds like, so Chris, it sounds like you may have reached the solution there, which is just to lock the container. Michael, do you have any suggestions for Chris from Bloomington?
Well, it sounds like what the bigger need is that we do need some publicly accessible, you know, drop-off locations there. And there have been some attempts of that in the past that were, you know, semi-publicly funded at one point or donated. Or at some point, there were some that were funded by a group of businesses. But still, to have some free public public receptacles for recycling in downtown Bloomington, I think definitely could have benefits. There's enough residents down there, businesses there, and in other areas of the community. And so we do, you know, still have drop-off locations throughout Normal that are serviced by the town of Normal. And so those are open to anyone in the community, but we know that that still provides or acts as a barrier for participation for some residents or business owners if they're too far away to access them easily.
Chris, do you think there needs to be more education among the student population about what goes into a recycling container and what goes into the garbage bin?
Absolutely, but to take it a thought further, I think the general population as a whole needs to be better educated about it. I just started recycling. I'm 62 years old. I just started recycling about 4 years ago, and I am absolutely shocked at how little garbage I have, because so much of what is disposed, needs to be disposed of, is recyclable. And I think that if those containers were made and the education were there, think about the litter in our state. I'm embarrassed about how our residents litter at the countryside and how it hurts the wildlife as well. That, you know, that's another food for thought in this education process. It isn't just, you know, the economy and the ecology of it, but what it's doing to the environment, meaning the animals as well as the vegetation. It's a full circle. And one other little bitty thought. This is trivial, but I'm in business, and everybody does what they do to make a dollar. Think about the driver on that garbage delivery truck that has to be inconvenienced with a padlock. And then when he's done emptying the bin, he has to get out and put the padlock back on and lock it up. You know, there's just so much to be considered. And another little tiny thought, and who am I? Just a little nobody. But the state of Michigan, for example, has deposits on bottles and cans and various recyclable things. How come the state of Illinois doesn't do something like that? And would that not help contribute to the cost factor of what the disposal people are looking at, as well as the taxpayer?
Good question, Chris. Can you answer Chris's question about deposits on bottles? You see it stamped sometimes, you know, in Maine, the bottle's worth 5 cents. In Nevada, it's worth 1 cent, that kind of thing. Chris, thanks for your call.
Yeah, so essentially that's a bottle bill, and that's been discussed in Illinois actually for decades as a way to help incentivize, especially the recycling of glass bottles. But, you know, in some places it's used for cans as well. That definitely works, and there is, you know, all sorts of benefits when people can see, you know, the money in their hand from taking those back. The catch is somebody has to pay for that. I mean, that is subsidized by somebody. And, you know, that's often, you know, the government, the state government. So right now, especially given the state of the state, that does not look like that's going to happen, you know, here in the near future.
Michael Brown is the executive director of the Ecology Action Center. And I think you know what this music means, Michael. I asked you if you knew what the music meant.
Yes. It's judgment time.
Do you recognize the music?
I do. This is the People's Court.
It is. And I thought it might be appropriate because at one level, we are judging those who maybe don't recycle at all. But what we're going to do here today is that everyone's innocent. There's a blanket pardon. We'll take any question you have about hard-to-recycle items in your home. And let's start with something that I've seen a lot of lately. I see them on the side of the road. Tube-type TVs. What happens? What should people be doing with those TVs?
Sure.
Certainly not throwing them at the side of the road.
It might feel good when you're just really frustrated and you can't, you know, do anything else with it to throw it. But yes, it's going to stay there because nobody's going to pick it up. The Town of Normal, City of Bloomington, any of the local waste collectors are not going to take that for collection because they cannot. These are banned from Illinois landfill like most consumer electronics nowadays. The tube-style TVs in particular are extremely problematic in that they cost a lot to recycle. Some electronics do actually have a net you know, positive value. These do not. They have a significant negative value. That old leaded glass tube in there really costs a lot. It has to be smelted down. It's just, I could talk about this for hours. The point being, these are difficult to get rid of, and there is currently a statewide crisis specifically concerning these. And so what that means is we only have one place in the community you can take tube-style TVs for proper recycling, and that is the Town of Normal Public Works Garage. They have an electronics recycling drop-off there. They're the only ones that will take that tube TV.
What's the cross street? Is that Warner? Warner off Adelaide, correct?
Exactly, yes. If you know where Team Automotive is, it's right down there.
309-438-8910 to call with your hard-to-recycle items. Dave from Normal's on the phone has a question. Dave, what's your hard-to-recycle item?
Well, I see a number of, especially those takeout food things that are number six polystyrene, and Normal doesn't take them. Is there anybody who does?
We've had that question before.
Right. Unfortunately,
Dave,
no.
Dave, thanks for your question.
Polystyrene number six is pretty universally not recyclable here in our community. You know, you do see the symbol on it that is, you know, an industry code that just identifies that plastic. That does not mean it is recyclable. The reality is it is technically recyclable. There is the technology. It's just, it's cost prohibitive. Is that, you know, any of that polystyrene, because of the large, you know, volume of air in it, low density, low value of this, you know, as soon as you fill up a truck full of polystyrene and start shipping it off, you know, to someone who's actually going to buy it from you, you've lost money immediately as soon as that truck starts moving, because the polystyrene has no value and you're paying to go send it away.
How is polystyrene different than styrofoam?
Styrofoam is a type of polystyrene.
Okay, and what about styrofoam you get in like, you know, if you buy some electronics, it's packed in, you know, chunks of this white styrofoam.
Sure. So for that, we do have some options. This is like advanced recycling, though, because it takes a little more commitment from the part of the individual, in that there still isn't a local option, but that there are mailback programs. And so if you go to our website, ecologyactioncenter.org, under recycling, or I think even under quick links, there's a link to styrofoam recycling. And you can see there's places you can ship this back. You can get this recycled. It's at your expense. You are the subsidy. And so instead of, you know, the Town of Normal or City of Bloomington subsidizing a truck full of styrofoam, which would be very cost prohibitive, you know, to go to a market for it, you are subsidizing it by paying the postage.
Nick from Bloomington is on the line. Looks like we have a list from Nick. What's on your list of things to be recycled, Nick?
Well, my question is that objects that cannot be recycled currently, how far are we away from the point where, like a landfill, can turn into a garbage processing factory?
Isn't that what Midwest Fiber actually is, Michael?
So yeah, there are, you know, so materials recovery facility, MRF, is a technical term for, you know, the sorting facilities, and there's different types, whether it is...
No, I'm saying of the debris that is not recyclable, or that is not currently being recycled, and it's taken to a landfill.
Sure, and you want to know what happens to that? Or
well,
what could be done?
My question is, couldn't landfill locations morph themselves into like a garbage separation plant where, you know, where you can separate your organics and items that can't be recycled? Could possibly have like high temperature incineration. So we quit digging holes with bulldozers to cover trash or garbage.
Sure, and that exists out there. And yeah, as I was trying to say, materials recovery facilities there where they sort these kind of things, whether it is, you know, trash from recyclables, organics from recyclables, and then, yeah, send them different ways. And so, yeah, incineration or waste-to-energy type options are out there in existence. There are pros and cons to some of those, you know, strategies, depending on what you're looking at. There's, you know, probably a dozen different types of waste-to-energy, and they all have different pros and cons and different needs in order to make them work properly. And so those are being looked at and being explored. They've actually been discussed by this community a few times in the past couple of years in other ways. And so those are on the table, but just those are a little more risky in a lot of ways.
Nick, thanks for your question. Let's go to Gretchen in rural Bloomington. She has a question about some paper materials for Michael Brown. Gretchen, you're on the air with Michael Brown from the Ecology Action Center.
Hello. I have tried. I often recycle books by offering them to the libraries for the book sale. However, there are some materials, primarily work-related bound items, that are not suitable for library sales. What do you suggest? Can they be thrown in with paper material?
Yes, they can, but you need to generally tear the covers off, especially if it's a hardcover book. So if you're just throwing paper in with your recycling, then that should be acceptable.
The hardcover, you're welcome, Gretchen. Thanks for calling. The hardcover is not some sort of press board?
Yes, but that's not necessarily recyclable in the same way as paper is.
Okay, but if if it's a single stream, it can't go in there?
The cover can be made of different materials, and so no, it's preferable just to take it off. It is going to be contamination.
And put it in the landfill.
Correct.
A paperback book, though, it's still a different kind of paper, but a paperback book could just go into the...
Yes, unless it's all plastic covered.
Okay. All right. So I have one more question, and that's beer bottle caps. Mm-hmm. I've been throwing these away thinking they were steel in curbside recycling. You told me yesterday I can't do that.
You can't do that. You can, but it's not really helping. And so they are steel. You're 100% correct.
I want to help.
They are 100% steel. The thing is, they're tiny. And so tiny things like that tend to get lost in the system and actually end up, you know, in the pile at the end that is the trash, the discard pile, once it goes through Midwest Fiber's sorting system. And so things like that that are steel, you know, I maintain at home, I have a bucket of scrap metal. And it's just everything that's scrap metal. You know, when I'm down in my workroom and I have a project and I break a nail or bend a screw, wait, that's backwards. Anyway, that goes into the scrap metal bucket.
And eventually goes to a metal recycler here in the community.
Correct.
Okay, well, that wraps up another edition of Can It Be Recycled? Michael, thanks. And can you tell our listeners what they won?
We won a cleaner, healthier environment. Thank you all.
Perfect. Michael Brown is the executive director of the Ecology Action Center. You're listening to Sound Ideas.